Welcome to the Doug Peterson Show.
Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
JP Shadrick and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Peterson Show starts right now.
Welcome into the Doug Peterson Show. It's week five. The Jaguars welcome in the division rival Houston Texans this Sunday. And along with Jeff Loggeman and head coach Doug Peterson, here we go. It's a divisional rivalry coming up. It's a home game. It's Legends Weekend. There's a lot going on here at the bank, Coach.
There's a lot happening, and it's going to be an exciting weekend. Houston Texans, good football team. When you watch these guys on tape, these guys fly around. They play hard. You know, it's unfortunate for them. They've been on the losing end of things. But, you know, this team, you can see Lovie Smith, his fingerprints all over this football team, and they play extremely hard for him, and he'll have that thing turned around in no time.
I know that you don't refer much to history, but the history shows that the Texans have played very well against the Jaguars, much like the Jaguars have played very well against the Colts at home. So, you know, I don't care how good they are, they've played well against this football team.
Exactly right, and that's something that our team is aware of. You look at the two games last year, and you know, there were some leads there, and there's some things that we didn't do so well in those football games. And, you know, it's just something that we've got to be able to take care of, just take care of our own and just focus on us and our jobs. And we've got to rebound, too, from what I would call an ugly loss, you know, last week in the muck up in Philadelphia, but something that we can flip around this weekend.
Well, I'm sure it'll be nice to get back to good weather as it is down
always,
here, right?
Always, yes.
Yeah, and part of that kind of getting back to being your brand of football, your quarterback had five giveaways in Philadelphia, and you played the position. How important, because we typically don't talk about toughness when we talk about quarterbacks, but how mentally tough does he have to be to get through that?
He's got to be extremely tough mentally. You know, those things, you get one, and I think you can kind of handle that. You start getting the second one, you know, in that game, and then the third, and it just, that's where it really starts playing on the psyche of the quarterback, especially the mind. And then you become hesitant as a passer, and you know, you're not getting through your progressions and reads. So, you know, that's something that we've talked with him about early in this week, just to, not only to point him out, but just to understand that, hey, listen, those things are going to happen. And how well can we just flip the switch, you know, focus on the next play, get back on the horse, as we say, and you know, make that next pass.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us. Another point last week, Jaguars defense gave up 210 rushing yards, and this is a Texans group that will hand it off and run effectively. How does that group bounce back after entering that game last week, number one in the league?
Yeah, I think they will. You know, one of the things, you know, that we saw on the tape, you know, the next day and watching it again is just we've got to stay disciplined in our run fits. You know, it was a little bit of Washington game all over again from that standpoint, a little undisciplined or out of character for some of our guys. And, you know, we just got to get back to playing our brand of football and staying disciplined within the game plan, understanding your role in the game plan, and taking it to the field. And I know our guys will bounce back, and they do have a, you know, our division is built to run the football, and that's why we went out and got some of the, not only the draft picks, but the free agents to help us stop the run.
And Pierce is a great young back that the Texans have, and going back to the Philadelphia game, you know me, Doug, I watched the defensive line very closely. I thought that was an off game for your front three big guys. If they get back to being a little bit more stout, that makes it easier for your young linebackers.
It does, and give credit to Philadelphia. That's a good offensive line that they went against. But I do like our three interior guys. You know, they've really proven, you know, in those two wins how dominant they can be, you know, in the run game. And so they've got to bounce back and have that type of performance this weekend.
Now, Davis Mills is not Jalen Hurts. You know, okay, he's not going to run the read option probably. But do you expect to see the read option? You know, it's kind of a copycat league. Even though he's not a runner, you're probably going to see it, aren't you?
I think everybody's offensive playbook has some form of read option, you know, that zone read. And then regardless of if the quarterback's mobile or not, you know, you're even seeing Matt Ryan run it a little bit, you know, from time to time, whether he's just pulling it himself or by scheme. But, you know, I mean, this is something that every team's going to do, and Davis is very capable of handling that. You know, he's a good passer. He's smart. The thing is, what you're seeing, too, is his leadership with that football team and how he's kind of brought them back, and given their team an opportunity in the fourth quarter to win some of these games.
Matt Ryan, the speedy Matt Ryan's running the read option. Huh? Wow, we'll see them in a couple
weeks.
We'll
see them in a couple weeks.
I guess so. It's head coach Doug Peterson with us. All right, so a Texans defense. What does a Lovie Smith defense feel like? And, you know, they have a couple of safeties that are 1 and 3 on their team in tackles, aggressive guys from the back end.
Well, what you're seeing with this defense is, number one, again, we're seeing how high, energetic, and fast-moving this team is. They fly around with a lot of team speed. And then you're seeing the Lovie print, Lovie Smith kind of fingerprint of cover two with this front. The Pirate stunts are a lot of movement and games up front with their D linemen and linebackers. You know, he prides himself on third down playing that traditional cover two and keeping everything in front of him. But he's also mixing in his single high coverages. But you're seeing that traditional, 4-3 base defense, and they play it well, and they've got the guys to do it and guys to run. And it's something you don't see every single week. You know, you see more 5-man fronts nowadays. That's kind of the trend in the National mm-hmm. Football League, and now going back to the traditional 4-3 is a little bit of a throwback for us as coaches trying to scheme it up.
You brought up a term that gave me a flashback: pirate. I started hearing that term in 1990 when Pete Carroll instituted in our yeah. game plan. And real quick, just to describe to people what a pirate is.
Yeah, a pirate stunt is just taking a tackle and an end, and they're gonna stem down into the gap inside of them, right? They're gonna what we call a pirate. They're gonna rock inside and create havoc. You usually take a 3 technique and maybe a 6, and they're gonna go hard inside, to disrupt. And that's what this style of defense is, a disruptive style of defense. And they try to, with their front seven, pile everything up and really try to stop and slow down your run game.
When you face a lot of cover two, a lot of people's first instinct is, okay, we got to run the football if we're seeing cover two. Is that kind of still the same mindset?
Well, all the middle open defenses that you see, you would love to run, the football. But, they've got ways now with the corners, with the way these corners are being aggressive off the edges, the way these backers, fly. They try to create one line of scrimmage. These backers are going to fly into the A gaps, B gaps, C gaps to try to, disrupt some of the combo blocks by your offensive line. So they can stay in their shell defense. It's just how well we handle the movement and the stunting by this line up front. And that gives us the best chance to run the ball if we can handle that.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us on the Doug Peterson Show. Let's go to the Microsoft Surface for a social media question for the head coach at @FlatCapJaguar on Twitter today. Coach, has anything positively surprised you about this team that you didn't expect when you took the job?
That's a great question. And I would say that just the leadership of this team, this is a young football team, but having the leadership that we do with some of these guys and the maturity that I've seen with this team was a bright spot, was a surprise a little bit, because sometimes with young players, you just don't see that, right? You kind of rely on the veteran, crafty guy to be the leader. But this group, when I got here in February and then seeing them again in April in the off-season program, how they embraced that, and it was the young guys. It was those guys that have led this team, it's been a pleasantly surprising situation for me, and one that I've really embraced and really liked.
I'm on the outside looking in, but I'm a people watcher, and so all through training camp, when I'm out there at practice, which isn't very often, get a chance to watch your guys. What impresses me, because it's very hard for new guys to come into a program or a team and to have an impact in a leadership category, a lot of the new guys that you brought in free agency have made a big impact in that category of leadership.
They have. You think about Christian and Zay on offense, right? You think about Brandon Scherff on offense. I mean, these three guys right there have been tremendous leaders in the offensive side, on the offensive side of the ball. Arden Key, who, you really wouldn't think that a D lineman, edge rusher type guy would have that role, but he does. Foye in the middle has been that type of player. He's been a leader by example. So all those guys that we've brought onto our roster, an added depth, have just kind of embraced that role. And not that I asked them to do it. I think it's something that is in them to do it, and it just helps the overall good of the football team.
Doug, it's Legends Weekend. I don't know how much time you'll have to interact with all the alumni players coming back. I know Logs is always fired up about this weekend. It's Tony Buscelli Ring Day. All that's going on. How important is it to embrace the alumni players and bring them back?
I think it's everything. It's huge because, you know, for these young players on this team and really even some of the old players, just to understand the history and the value of the organization, where the organization has come from, and the people that and the players that have gone before and kind of paved the way for these guys to have this opportunity. I think it's so important to keep those legends involved and bring them around, whether it's training camp or the regular season, or to do things in the off season with them. Because you know, I'm one of those guys. I still get the newsletters from about 8 different teams that I was on. I think it's important to do that and really to interact with the current roster.
Hey, cocktail hour Saturday night. You want to come join us?
I'll come. Let me know when it is. I'll be there.
Love it. Hey, Doug. Good luck to you this week. Appreciate the time as always.
Thank you.
Plenty more ahead. This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Welcome back. It's the Doug Peterson Show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Logman. Our thanks to head coach Doug Peterson joining us every Thursday. And the Jaguars host the Houston Texans. It's week 5 coming up. All right, so the head coach has got his team rolling and ready to go back to work this Sunday after a tough loss last week. It's expected, and by now you know that the tone's going to be just moderate, right down the middle. No, not too high, not too low. Maybe for not even 24 hours rule. A couple of players in the locker room said, yeah, it was a little less than 24 hours when we flushed this one away and moved on to next week.
Yeah, pretty impressive, right? I mean, as far as how Doug's demeanor is real calm, and it doesn't matter whether, you know, you get a big win or you get a big loss, you know, he's real steady. And he was asked that question last week at one point, and he said that he just feels like that, you know, you got to be able to stand up in front of the team and be able to deliver messages without a lot of emotion to let them know where we need to go with messaging, et cetera. And he does a great job with that. And that's, I think, very impressive. A lot of times coaches can be self-serving and they want to go up there and pound the table. You know, we got to turnovers and giveaways are the bane of our existence.
Somebody's driving down JTB right now, just like jumping out of their seat, pounding the table.
Did I hurt your ears, Joe? I apologize.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I don't care if I hurt Reber's ears, you know. He's young ears. He can survive.
But we get your point, right? I mean, pound on the table, stand up there like Patton, you know, whole thing.
It's self-serving a lot of times.
Sure.
You know, what matters is what you say to your team. Look, I know it sometimes when you have a coach that, you know, gets up there and pounds that table, sometimes it makes a fan base feel better. But at the end of the day, that doesn't always help your football team. And what matters is that you are finding a way to make sure that your football team gets through this, that learns from this, recovers from this, and then moves on. Not that, I'm just so disappointed. I can't believe we did that. And no, that doesn't work.
No. And that was priority number one for Doug Peterson this offseason, was to earn that trust of the team to get up there and do that and approach them the way that they should be approached. And that hasn't happened around here as of late. And now he's into this season and is able to jump up there and do that.
Well, there was absolutely zero messaging last year.
Right.
You know,
so there you go.
But, you know, look, it's, I think, you know, the one thing I think that I came away with from watching the game in Philadelphia beyond the game was that you watched the love and adoration of fans and former employees that Doug spent time with, and the love that they showed to him. The number of former Eagles, or should I say the number of Eagles staff members that were going up to shake Doug's hand and to say hi. After the game, the players that went up to give him a hug, you know, the players, I mean, not just players, multiple. Jason Kelce going up,
wanting to do a jersey jacket swap with Doug Peterson after the game.
That was pretty good.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there watching, and I saw Kelsey run to the sideline and said, what the heck is he doing? And he goes and he grabs this clear plastic bag, and I'm like, that looks like a jersey in there. And I said, well, he's probably going to go swap jerseys with somebody. And I'm like, well, he's in his 13th year, and it'll be interesting to see who he's going to swap with on the Jaguars team. You know, I mean, does he want Christian Kirk? I mean, I don't know.
Who's the equal over here, right?
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, you're talking about a guy who's won a Super Bowl 13 years in the league, and he goes up to Duck and gives him a big old bear hug, and they embrace, and then – you could see that Kelsey was giving him the body language. I want to, you know, and Doug's like, you know, my jacket? You want my jacket? And
he's
like, yeah, and they did it. Yeah, Doug took the jacket off right then and there and gave it to Kelsey, and then Kelsey gave him his jersey. It was cool, man. And that's, you know, if you're a Jaguar player, you got to love seeing that, because there is, you know, there's a special bond between certain coaches and players, and it's not always a great bond. You know, sometimes it's a coach player bond, but sometimes it's a little bit more than that. And you could tell that, and obviously when you win a Super Bowl, it makes that bond even more special. And it was just good to see. And I'm sure that from a Jaguars player standpoint, that was also good to see.
We'll come back in a moment and get into the mentality logs of beating teams that you should beat. Hasn't been the, you know, this has been the team that should be beat for a number of years.
I like saying that a little bit differently.
Okay, we'll find out how.
Yeah.
When we come back. This is the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
The Doug Peterson Show is presented by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. We heard from head coach Doug Peterson in the opening 10 minutes of the program, as always on Thursdays. Glad you're along with us. Hope you'll join us at the bank this Sunday in Week 5 as the Jaguars entertain the Houston Texans. Jaguars at 2-2, first place in the AFC South. The Texans at 0-3-1. So, before the commercial timeout, the mentality now, logs of, as I put it, beating teams you should beat.
Now you said you're supposed to beat.
Okay.
Or should beat.
Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of the same phrasing, right?
Yes.
I like the concept or the wording is to win the winnable games, you know, because I think that shows a little bit more respect to the opponent.
Okay.
And it also
I'm also not on the field having to go against these guys.
Well, and it's also, it recognizes that, you know, this is a professional football team that can beat you. You know, this is not Texas A&M and Appalachian State, and you just have this monstrous advantage from a personnel and facilities and everything else standpoint at Texas A&M over App State. I mean, it's not that kind of comparison. So, you know, and again, the reality, I'll say this again. When we have had this week come up in years past, we viewed the Texans, and last year, the very first game, we were calling them a dumpster fire. You know, with all the situations that they had going on with Jack Easterby as the executive vice president of football operations and how they looked like an organization in disarray. And they took the Jaguars the first game of the season to the tool shed. And it wasn't a pretty look. And then the second game in here was the same kind of process. You know, so, look, I hope things are going to be different this year. I expect them to be differently because I think that this is a much different Jaguars football team, and this is a Texans team that is still struggling to find its footing. And you need to make sure that you can take advantage of situations when you have an opportunity.
That's a better way to say it.
Yeah, win winnable games.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot more sense now. A little less abrasive.
The saying of win the games that you're supposed to win or that you're, you know, that you should win. I mean, that's, to use the phrase from Herm Edwards, that's why they play the game.
That's right. Yes. Good point.
So, that was one of the greatest interviews ever, by the way. Jim Mora and Herm Edwards, those two interviews are epic.
So this is a new feeling, though, for some players who've been around here for a few years, though, to be in a capacity where they're in first place early in a season with, yes, a division game this week against a team that, in theory, on paper, could be down. So getting the team to play to that standard, I think, is something Doug's going to have to work through.
Well, and the first thing that you need to make sure that you do is control the controllables. Protect the football, be in awareness of the football, and that kind of goes without saying. That's the one thing that we have been harping on and obviously was very glaring in last week's game. Catching the ball, okay, Christian Kirk had some drops, and I know conditions were what they were, but the Eagles didn't seem to have too much problems with those conditions. Okay, so catch the balls that are catchable. That's for, you know, Christian Kirk, Marvin Jones, and even Evan Engram at one point had the one ball that came to him, and it was probably knuckling to him, but he was so consumed, make the catch, make the catch, make the catch, make the catch, that he didn't do anything with it after he got it. And I get it, secure the ball first, and I appreciate that. And you know, but at some point, you want to make sure that you can do something with it after you get it. And then defensively, you have to make sure that you're not committing penalties that are making it easier for the opponent's offense, or a few of them in last week's game as well. So just clean it up, you know. And when Doug talked this week about Washington kind of reared its head again, that's what he's talking about there, to where you have some things that you can control. And then you miss some things. Trevor missing the double move to Jamal Agnew on a deep ball on the outside. He got, you know, gets a little bit of pressure and he throws it earlier than he wants to. Okay, what can you do differently? Can you avoid the pressure a little bit to buy you that extra time? Or can you still make a more accurate throw even though you're getting pressure? Because the reality is, in the NFL, pressure happens. So a lot of things that to be learned from last week, and really a lot of things that are just, I think, were reinforced from the Washington game for this football team. And then, you know, look, last week, and not really, we haven't talked about this yet. Nobody's really talked much about this. Last week was a different week.
How?
And I'm not trying to make excuses for the team. Yeah. You know, Tampa Bay, you know, their coach talked about it, about how Todd Bowles talked about how the schedule was disrupted. Well, this football team, there was a lot of these contingency plans being talked about. What they would do, would they travel out early on a Thursday? Would they move the schedule up? Would they go somewhere else? Would they go, you know, to another place and practice? And even though none of those things really happened, there was a slight alteration to the practice from Thursday and Friday, to where they typically, after a Thursday practice, they go in and watch film, et cetera. They moved all of that to Friday, so they just added a little bit more work to the work day on Friday and left at the normal time and everything on Saturday. But how many times, JP, did you stare at the Weather Channel last week?
All week long.
All week long.
Absolutely.
And I think from a player standpoint, you're staring at the channel. You got family and you got friends, and you know, you're wondering what's going to happen. Is this storm going to come to us? Is it going to affect us? I mean, so, again, I'm not trying to make excuses, but I'm just trying to point out that this was a different week, I think, in a lot of aspects for this football team. And that can take, I think, the focus concentration away a little bit. And then also it stresses your body a little bit. So you're sometimes not as fresh going into a game just because of the nervous energy that you're expending, you know, from those type of things. And again, I'm not trying to make excuses, but I'm just saying that it was a very different week.
We'll come back in a moment and get into this Jaguars defense. They gave up 210 rushing yards last week. That's in the past. You're looking ahead. The Texans like to run it. They have a young running back that can get some things done as well. This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Welcome back. Doug Peterson Show rolling along. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman and head coach Doug Peterson joining us in the first 10 minutes of the program every week. If you missed him, you can catch the archive on Jaguars.com coming up. Jaguars social media, it's immediately archived after the show. And the official Jaguars Podcast Network. Download it. It's free. Subscribe. Subscribe. That's the word I'm looking for. Subscribe. It's a free subscription on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you download fine podcasts.
Spotify.
You're a Spotify guy.
Yeah, I like Spotify. And then a lot of times I just go to jaguars.com.
Yeah, easy. Hit the podcast tab at the top of the homepage.
And beautiful.
You're right there. It's right there in front of you on your computer screen or Surface tablet, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever
I typically mute you when you talk, and then I wait for Bucky to talk.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
I don't know if you are.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, so last week, we know it by now, 210 yards on the ground for the Philadelphia Eagles in last week's game. Foley Fadukasi is on the injury report this week with a quadriceps issue. Did not practice today. Jaguars defensive tackle. It's a Texans team that has a young running back that they handed off to a good bit who seems to be getting better and better. You know, how do they improve? What was the big issue last week in the run defense, and what do you do against Damian Pierce?
Well, as I mentioned to Doug, you know, about the performance of the three guys up front, you want that to improve and get back to where it was really dominant. And, you know, I thought Roy Robertson-Harris has had, you know, an outstanding start to his year, and last week was a little off. And I think he'll get back to form this week because he's just been so strong and so powerful, and he just controls the line of scrimmage. Devon Hamilton the same way. But Devon Hamilton was facing, again, one of the top three, four, five centers in the league in Kelsey, and a guy that has had great experience playing the game. And that was a tough matchup there. Again, credit the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. They've got a couple of really good players up front and two elite players. I would put Kelsey and then the right tackle, Lane Johnson, in the categories of being elite. I mean, they're top five at their position around and anywhere in the National Football League, not just the conference. So, they faced a tough matchup. And so you get back to being stout up front, and you get back to being decisive as linebackers. And it's much easier to be decisive as a linebacker when the line of scrimmage is established by your three big guys up front because they declare it for you. When they are not in their gaps, then as a linebacker, you're going, okay, do I have to cover up for the gap that's to where my guy's not in, where he was supposed to be in, or do I go to where I'm supposed to be? You know, so then you kind of get caught in between of trying to cover a hole that shouldn't be there because the performance is not what it needs to be up in front of you. So combination of things and, and stack the line of scrimmage. And, you know, are you worried about the Texans wide receivers if you stack the line of scrimmage? I'm not worried that much. You know, and I know Brandon Cooks has been really good against the Jaguars.
5-0. He's got five touchdowns and five meetings, four 100-yard games.
Yeah.
Against the Jags.
Yeah, and look, he's been good, you know. But does he scare me? I mean, I respect him. I would respect him. But I don't think he would scare me because I would feel pretty confident in our guys to be able to match up with him. He's one of those guys that's got great change of direction, so you got to make sure that if you do play him in man, you got somebody that can handle that change of direction and body him up off the line of scrimmage. You know, the other guy on the other side, Nico Collins, is coming off a career game that he had last week. He had three catches for 82 yards, and he had, a 58-yarder, a big one that led to a Brandon Cooks touchdown soon after, and Nico Collins is a big guy. He's got excellent size, and there was one particular play that he ran. You know, Brandon Cooks is known for his speed, but there was one play in particular that really stood out on film that I saw Nico Collins just flying down the field. And, you know, and when you're fast on film, you're really fast. What I mean by that is when you recognize great speed on film, where you see a guy just flat out run by a defensive back, it's hard not to notice that. And I was like, holy cow, put it this way. Watching, and I see this play, and I immediately after I saw the play went, holy cow, my God, that speed that he just showed there. Put pause on the film, grabbed my phone, and did the old GTS, Google that stuff, and searched Nico Collins' speed. And he's a legitimate 4.4 guy that's got the size too, you know. So, you know, this is going to be a big play guy that the Jaguars are going to have to respect as well. But if they're not running, you know, if the Texans aren't running with great success, if your big guys get it done on the early downs, it's a lot easier to pressure a quarterback who is struggling in year two.
Plenty ahead. We'll come back in a moment, though. It's Legends Weekend. The alumni players are coming back.
Yeah.
Mess it next to one every week on this show, and Jeff Lagerman.
In my own mind, yes.
There's a bunch of other ones coming back this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the guys, and I know a lot of guys can't come in because a lot of guys are involved in football to some extent, yep. You know, where they're at.
We'll come back and get into that, the schedule this weekend for all the alumni players, Tony Boselli being honored. This is the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Doug Peterson Show, presented by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. The Jaguars and the Houston Texans coming up at the bank this Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff time as the Jaguars return home. It's been a little while. Only one game in the first four here at the bank this season and this week. Tony Boselli will receive his Pro Football Hall of Fame Ring of Excellence.
Did you saw the picture of it on where?
On the Pro Football Hall of Fame Twitter page.
Okay.
They put out the ring photos, four photos of Boselli's ring.
Can you retweet that?
I can do that.
Yeah, do that so people...
You know, it's only one button to retweet. I can do that.
Oh, you got that kind of skill set.
I think I can figure that out.
I know you like to tweet, so go ahead
and
tweet.
You're a big Twitter guy
I'm big. Big on that.
Yeah. So
I'll retweet it as well.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame president will be here. And Jaguars owner Shad Khan. There'll be a halftime ceremony. And the first 15,000 in the gates get 71 teal rally towels. And then, of course, at 10 o'clock, if you come in early to the stadium, you can get your photo with the Boselli bust. They'll bring it down from Canton for the game on Sunday. 11 o'clock, you can see the documentary 71. Which is premiering on Saturday night in an event at the Ritz Theater. But if you don't make it to that, if you can't make it there, you can check it out on Sunday, 11 o'clock at Daly's Place. So check that out. And a lot going on in the game. And this is alumni weekend. A lot of guys coming back. And I know you're excited to see all of them, Logs. This is one of your favorite weekends of the year.
I beat you to it.
Oh, you retweeted.
I did. I retweeted before you
that?
Did.
I mean, I'm sitting here working over here. I'm trying to, like, explain what's going on this weekend. What am I supposed to do, five things at once?
Write that down.
How many things can I juggle
I beat J.P. Shadrick on retweeting something.
Oh, gosh.
Write it down.
Anyway, are you excited to see your former teammates' logs while I retweet now?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see all the guys. And I think it's going to be a pretty good turnout, not as strong as – you know, a lot of times on alumni weekend they try to hold it into November – and then sometimes even the first early part of December, because you can get a higher rate of guys to come back, because a lot of guys are associated with other football programs, whether it be at the high school level, the collegiate level, or what have you. But it's going to be good to see the guys, and I'm looking forward to it. And you know, there's a whole bunch of different events that are going to be happening through the weekend, and I'll get to see the majority of them on Saturday night, and then hopefully again on Sunday morning. So looking forward to it.
That'll be fun. Always is to see.
Yeah, it'll be great. And I got to find out, you know, since Boselli is neglecting his game day duties.
Yes.
Do we get paid extra?
All signs point to no.
I think we should all split Tony's portion.
We would all do very well.
Of broadcast duties that he is not getting because he's doing this Hall of Fame stuff.
I think you know? We would all do very well that weekend if that were the case. You know, considering he's got the jacket and a ring and a bust now. I think the price went up.
Yeah. Well, good for him. It's going to be a cool day. And who's coming from the Hall of Fame? There's a guy. The
president.
Jim.
I believe. Is it Miller? I should know this. It's been a couple months.
The president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame is coming.
Yes.
Which it's a Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I learned all of this when we were in Canton a couple months ago, that it's a nonprofit. And they don't own all of the stuff.
Jim Porter.
They don't own all of the stuff there that's at the Pro Football Hall of Fame other than the actual place that you go into to see all the memorabilia. That's the only thing that they own. That a lot of the stuff that's around the Pro Football Hall of Fame is, I think, Hall of Fame Villages LLC, and then also the high school that is attached to that. And so what a really unique kind of arrangement that they have there in Canton. But cool, the ring is going to be cool. You know, so now Tony can just, you know, wear the ring and not wear the gold jacket because he's been wearing it like every day.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah, that's right. As long as he doesn't ask anybody to kiss the ring. We don't need that.
No. We're
No, that's not happening.
We're not going to do that.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. Hey, we'll come back. We're going to go to the Microsoft Surface for a fan question.
All right.
Social media.
For me?
That was for Doug. Well, we got a lot of applicants today for the question for Doug.
So we're going to do a bonus one for me.
A bonus one that didn't make the cut for Doug. It's coming your way.
Oh, great. I get the leftovers.
Yes, you do. That's coming back in a moment. It's the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Yeah, welcome back indeed. It is the Doug Peterson Show. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Peterson in the first segment each and every week. And by the way, happy birthday to Trevor Lawrence. 23 years old.
God, he's young. Whew. Yeah, he's young, and I look forward to many more years of watching him just continue to get better and better.
23 years old. Wow. To be 23 again.
To be 23.
If I knew then what I know now.
But to be 23 and to have the level of maturity that he has, it's impressive to watch how he handles himself, how he handles the media. He definitely is a special person when it comes to that.
Let's go to the Microsoft Surface here, Logs, for a social media question. Plenty of submissions earlier for Coach Peterson, but we'll save this one for you, Logs. Here it is, at NeedsG on Twitter. Why was James Robinson so limited in the second half of the game against Philadelphia?
Well, you didn't want to ask Doug that?
Well, I'd rather ask you. How about that?
All right, well, here's one of the reasons why. Okay, here's the possessions in the second half. Three and out, and you had, got sacked, okay, and they were all pass plays, but the sack kind of threw you out of whack a little bit, yeah, on early downs.
That's right, behind the chain.
Okay, and then you went nine plays, and then you had the interception, had a little bit of run in there. And then you go three and four, you get your three plays and then punt again, and then you got a 45-yard play to Kirk, and then Agnew, a six-play, 68 yards, and you didn't run the ball a ton there, but you're trying to play catch up because you were down by 15 points once you got to that drive. So if you don't turn the ball over earlier in the ball game, then you get more plays, you get more runs. And it's the same way in the second half. When you start converting first downs and not having a couple three and outs mixed in the early part of the second half, then you can start stringing more plays together to hand the ball off to whether it be Travis Etienne or James Robinson. You know, much like when you had the game against the Chargers, and then you're handing the ball off, or the Colts, and you're putting plays together. Okay, then your run balance mix is pretty solid. You know, and I do believe this, that this is a system that is a lot. Some systems of the old school football are kind of run first and then pass second, and I believe that this system is kind of a pass first, run second, and that doesn't mean that you still don't have balance. It's just that you accomplish balance in a different fashion. And so the more success that you have of putting plays together, then you will find the balance in the running game, just like you would with an offense that is run first, pass second.
Jaguars had only 46 total plays in the game to Philly's 77. The Eagles had nearly 40 minutes of possession time also.
Right. And the Eagles did a better job. I mean, that's just plain and simple. The Eagles turned the ball over one time, and it was a one-time situation. It was early in the ball game where the ball got tipped. And, by the way, that was a really, really good play. And Williams made an excellent play undercutting the wide receiver. Darius Williams undercuts the wide receiver, gets the hand up, nearly makes the interception himself. And just a note, you know, we have a tendency to kind of on a game like that to dwell on the negatives. You know, okay, we're minus four turnover differential. Trevor had a record setting. He fumbled the ball four times. James Robinson also put it on the turf. Trevor had an interception that he had a bad decision on. Okay, well, was there any good? Why haven't you asked me, has there been anything good?
Well, we got another segment. I mean, I can come back and do that if you want. No, yeah. There
you didn't
has
have
been,
it in your
There
in
has
your
been
playbook.
Some good. There has been some good. I mean, there was some good. They scored on that play on the interception return. They
By the way, great blocking.
Great.
On the interception.
That's what they've said they're missing on defense. They've done a lot of other things well. They haven't scored yet. Well, now they can check that box.
Devin Lloyd got a great block.
Yeah.
And Devon Hamilton got an excellent block. You got a great non-block down the field by Josh Allen because it could have been a borderline clip, and he kind of did one of these at the last second. A great decision to not to try to engage the offensive player, and that was the play that Jordan Mailata hurt his shoulder on. Ended up kind of diving and then lands on his arm. His shoulder pops out. They had to pop it back in. But the left tackle, the Eagles, that's the play that he got hurt on. But the interception was a great play, and that was a positive. The other positive, Darius Williams had his best performance yet to date. You can see that he's starting to find his groove. And I thought the offensive line, besides the two plays that Juwan Taylor had to where he gave up the two pressures and then the cost fumble sack, And you can't always say that, well, besides those two plays. But the rest of the offensive line, I thought, played really well. I thought Fortner played his best game by far. Ben Bartsch continues to get better and better. Every week he's taken a step up. Cam Robinson put on a really athletic display in that ball game. So there were some really good things to that game from that aspect. And I think that the offensive line coach, who, JP, you and I are both fans of Phil Rauscher, and I'm a big fan of his technique and what he's teaching these guys. Not as big of a fan as the former Jaguars offensive line coach, but I'm a fan of his this week because I'm seeing some of the Texans offensive linemen do some of the same stupid, bad set things that the Jaguars offensive line were doing here last year.
All right. Wow. Throwing it out there.
I'm just telling you, I'm being truthful, you know, and I don't know what, and his name's George
Warhop,
who was the offensive line coach here the last 2 years. When you watch the guards and the tackles set, everything is about angles. Okay. Playing offensive line is about spatial relations and geometry. Seriously. And not to sound nerdy or anything, but it's about the angles of the sets and the correlation to the guy next to you. And Warhop teaches the guards to almost have a vertical set to where they open the gate. If the Jaguars don't get two sacks in this ball game from running TEs, which tackle gets up the field, okay, on the guard, outside shoulder of the guard, and then beats the inside shoulder of the tackle in the end, goes up the field a couple steps and then plants his foot and comes underneath. If they don't get two sacks on that stunt, JP, in this ball game, I'll buy you a beer.
Wow. How about that?
A really good beer.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'll buy you beers all night if they don't get two sacks on that.
I don't think I'm going to be drinking, though, sounds like.
Why?
Because they're going to get them, right?
Why, yeah.
Yeah.
They will get a sack.
I'm pulling for them to get
the
sacks. I wouldn't mind a beer either. We're back in a moment. It's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Welcome back. Final couple minutes of the Doug Peterson Show. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Peterson in the first 10 minutes. If you missed it, catch the archive, Jaguars.com, social media, or the official Jaguars podcast network. Quickly, Blake Bortles retired. He talked about it on a podcast. He didn't officially announce it. That's not really his style, but he's no longer going to play NFL football. But
that great
congrats
guy.
To him.
He's a great guy.
Yep.
And I always was a fan of the person, Blake Bortles, just because he always was there to have a great answer. He was a guy. He wasn't this quarterback that kind of put himself above everybody else You know, he didn't throw the ball beautifully or anything like that, but he gave it everything he had, and that's what I appreciated most about him.
One of my favorite sound bites from him was a two-point play went wrong or something. They asked him in the locker room the next day, "What'd you think?" He's like, "I just work here." That was it. Feeling good about Sunday, Quick?
Yeah, feeling good about it. I think they get to win. I think they win the winnable game.
All right, there you have it, Jeff.
Break the streak.
Break the streak. 8 in a row the Texans have won. They'll try to break it Sunday at 1 o'clock. Thanks to our entire crew. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll catch you next time. The Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.